Buenos días. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see now that you have people from different minority groups or different ethnicities. It's beautiful, especially for me, right? So because now they can see me and they can probably relate to me, right? I look like that guy. So we are family, and that is beautiful. That is amazing. At the end of the story, that is what is going to happen, right? So people from all nations and different languages, we're going to be together worshiping God for the rest of eternity. So this is just the introduction, right? But one day we will be together worshiping God for eternity. So thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Kyle, for the invitation. It's very, very interesting to me that every time that I've been invited to go to an English-speaking congregation, the pastor is either on holidays or on sabbatical. So I don't know. It's a true story. It's a true story, right? So, and I don't know why. I don't know if they don't want to get the responsibility, right? After whatever is happening here, I'm a Mexican preacher. And good thing that someone told me the last week or a few weeks ago, someone came and preached over 1 hour, so which means I'm okay today. So I can see here that you have the program, and it says that I have 42 minutes, which is amazing, right? Usually when I go to English-speaking congregation, they give me the most is 30 minutes. I had never done it, but I'm going to try my best today. So, yeah, it's a little bit challenging for a Mexican guy. You start talking and talking and talking. So I don't have to talk more about myself. The only thing is my wife is here, Veronica. We've been married for 28 years, and it's a fundamental part of my life and in our ministry, right? So, and that's right, we have two kids, Esteban, 24, and Benjamin, 22. But we are going to get into the Bible today. So I wasn't sure about that, right? It's been a series. Pastor Kyle sent me an email, and he asked me to come and to share with you. And he told me, you're going to preach about this. So the verses were assigned to me, okay? So I'm not really sure about how we are going to accommodate this into the series that he's been preaching for the last few weeks here at the church. But we'll see what happens. So we are 3 John, and it's only one chapter, right? So verse 9, so we are supposed to share from verse 9 to verse 11. We'll see what happens. So we are going to get into the most important part of this, and verse 9. So I'm going to read just verse 9 for the time being, and little by little, we are going to get into the next verse and the next sentences, and we'll see what God is leading us today. So verse 9, it says like this. I'm reading from the New International Version. I wrote to the church. I've been practicing this name for a month. Yeah, so even in Spanish, it's kind of difficult, right? So, but Diotrephes, I think that's the name, or Diotrephes, whatever. I'm going to refer to that guy or the bad guy, because when you read the first verses, there's another difficult name, Gaius or something like that, who is the nice guy. But John is saying, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. We want to stop there, and we want to think about this for a few minutes, because I'm pretty sure that you have a Diotrephes close to your life. There is always a Diotrephes close to your life. Either it's at work, there is someone that wants to be the first one. You have a coworker that he is the one that gets very early in the morning, 15, 20 minutes before everyone. He's a coworker that likes to talk too much. is a worker, they will do everything possible to get to the top. Is a worker, a co-worker, they always is giving his opinion, is answering all the questions when you have the meetings. There is a worker, they wants to be the first one, always. Is a worker or co-worker that is always talking about the rest of the co-workers. He's talking about the managers. He's talking about the reasons why you have a problem in the company. He's the one that knows the solutions. But what about school? The same thing. There is a student, a classmate, exactly the same, that he knows everything. He's a teacher's puppet. And usually, it's a smart guy. He wants to be part of everything. Sports is there. Plays is there. Community events is there. He wants to be the first. He wants nobody wants to be around him, but he wants to be around everybody. He wants to put down everyone. He's kind of bully, but this is more like a talking and talking and talking. And we have one of those. What about family? Maybe your brother, maybe your sister, maybe your in-laws, maybe the weird uncle. Everybody has a weird uncle. Someone that you have the Thanksgiving dinner, you have the gathering with family, and there's weird uncle or the in-laws. He's coming, they're coming, and they start talking and talking and talking and talking. They know better than you. They know about politics. They know about science. They know about the church. Even though they don't come to church, they know better than you. And they start talking and talking. Their family is better than your family. Their kids are better than your kids. They have scholarships. Your kids don't have a scholarship. But there's someone that is talking and talking and talking, and he wants to be the first one. What about community? What about your neighbor? He's going to start talking about the new house, the renovations, my new truck, my last trip, my holidays, my family. So we have someone, you have someone that is like Diotrephes in your life, or at one point, you meet someone like this person, your community, sports, everywhere. But what is the problem? Everywhere you go, there is always Diotrephes. But the problem is this, that John is writing to the church. John is not writing to your work. He's not writing to your family. He's not writing to the community, to your sports team. He is writing to the church, which means there is a Diotrephes inside the church. Please don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that, okay? Pastor Kyle told me to preach about that. Yeah, so that's not my problem. I preach 42 minutes, I leave, I go for lunch, and then you can be a Diotrephes criticizing me, attacking me. But that is a problem, and that is a reality. I don't know if this is the case, and I don't want you to start thinking about someone inside this congregation. I don't want you to look at your right or your left and to think about someone that is a Diotrephes inside the church, someone that is talking too much, someone that is attacking the pastor, the leadership, someone that is go against everything that we are planning, someone that is in disagreement about everything. And that is something that is reality, and I think that you know it in every single church. You know what is kind of interesting to me? I was telling my wife, I've been in Christianity, I've been a Christian, a believer, for more than 30 years. And I don't remember, I'm pretty sure this is the first time that I'm preaching about this guy in 30 years, to be honest. And secondly, I don't remember being in a church that the pastor preached about that. I don't remember it. Maybe, but I don't remember it. It seems to me that we don't want to talk about this. It would be a little bit easier to talk about the first guy when you read the whole chapter, right? So you go to the first verses, you can find another guy, Gaius. I think that's the name. You talk about that guy, it's easier. Why? Because he was faithful. He was nice. He loved God. He loved the church. He loved the community. He loved people. He welcomed everyone. He is inviting people to come to the church. So he's a happy guy. I want to be around that guy. So that is easy to come and to preach about that one. Or if you go a little bit down in this verse, there is another guy, Demetrius, I think that's the name. I'm sorry, but those are difficult. Yeah? And that was, John is telling that Demetrius has a great testimony. He's someone that everybody's look up to him because he's a nice testimony. So it's easier when you preach about Gaius or Demetrius because we love that. We don't want to talk about Diotrephes. It's easier to preach about Gaius, and then at the end of the day, we hold hands, we sing the Kumbaya, and we all go back home. Everybody's happy. But when we face this, we don't like it. But that's a reality. He's writing to the church. It's problematic. It's very dangerous. There is a Diotrephes in the church. Usually, every single church has a Diotrephes. And you know what is so interesting about this guy, that is someone that is smart. This is someone that has experience. This is someone that knows the Bible. This is someone that knows theology. He's someone that is listening to the professors and the preachers and PhD. He's someone that is reading books. Actually, he knows a lot, but he's against about everything. He wants to be the first one. We're going to go back to this, that he loves to be first. At the end, we're going to go back about that. Yeah? So, but that is a problem. So what exactly we are supposed to do as a church? To talk about this, to face it, to understand, to recognize there is a problem. Again, I'm not saying this is your problem, but it's happening. That's reality. We are sinners. We are imperfect people. We disagree with everything. But there's something that we need to talk about. Something that we have to do. If we look to verse 10, so John is saying, so when I go to the church, I will call attention to what he is doing. Obviously, this guy was a leader in the church. He had an influential power in the church because he was talking. He was the first one, and he was attacking the John and the church and the leaders. So he was a leader within the church, yeah? But John is telling, when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing. So the question for us is, what exactly I need to do about this? Should I face it? Or I'm going just to avoid it. I don't want to talk about that. I'm going to talk about at the end too with the new people, people that probably is the first time coming to the church. I don't want people that is exploring Christianity or they have been invited to church, coming to the church and having this kind of experience. I remember the first time that I went to a church, Hispanic church. Many, 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 many years ago, the first thing that I did when I moved to Canada is to look for a church. And I went to Hispanic church. And the first service, it was kind of rough. It was the first service for me as a believer. And I remember the pastor preaching about that you're a sinner and you need to change. God is going to punish you. It was kind of rough, and I get kind of a little bit scared. That's what it's all about, Christianity. A pastor is screaming to me, bad people, and God is ready just to punish me every time that I made a mistake. So I don't want you to feel that way. I don't want you to think about that. But I think that it's important because John is saying, I will call attention to that because it's a problem for the church. It can create division in the church, confrontation in the church. If we don't pay attention, we want it just to flip over and move to the next one. Because we don't want to talk about these kind of people, yeah. But it is important. Why? Because it says, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. It's someone that is talking. You know, probably you know that. The church, I won't say which church, but the church that we've been attending for a few years, I remember the pastor telling us that at the beginning of the ministry that he received hundreds and hundreds of emails attacking him. Attacking him about the way that he dresses, the way that he speaks, the vision that he had for the church. And I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe it. It was so difficult, and it still is kind of difficult for me to understand that and to accept that someone has the courage to write an email to a pastor and to attack the pastor and to criticize the pastor and his family about everything that the pastor is doing in the church. I couldn't believe it. It still is kind of difficult for me that someone is going to do that. I agree that you have the right to disagree. Absolutely. Absolutely. You have the right to disagree. But there is a way to do it. There is a way to say in things. It's so easy to come to the office or start talking and having a conversation with the pastor at the leadership team. But sending emails or spreading malicious nonsense, start talking with other people behind doors about the church, about your pastor, about his family. I've never been able to understand that. Pastor, when you hire a pastor, it's like you are hiring two people for one position with only one salary. That's what I have seen all my life with pastors. Because it seems to me the pastor's wife, is like he is part of the staff. You hire the pastor and the wife is now part of the staff. You're not paying anything to her, but she needs to do the work. I'm not able to understand. It's been kind of difficult for me to understand that. But anyways, so someone is spreading malicious nonsense about us, about the leaders. And that needs to stop. We need to call attention to that. Yeah. So, but the question is that I was Saul, and I think that you know that you are working in a new plan for the church, a new vision for the church. For me, it's amazing to come to the church and to see different ethnicities and inviting more people from the community, and that you're moving in a different direction. You want to move forward. You want to do something new. You want to create a different vision, how this church is going to impact the community. How is that we are going to reach out the people out there, the people outside from different ethnicities? What exactly is the plan for the church? So I think that it's important for you as a church to think about that. There is a reason why I'm preaching about this or I'm sharing about this. There is a reason why, yeah? So I didn't, obviously. If Pastor Kyle wouldn't say anything, I wouldn't be preaching about something completely different. I wouldn't talk about a guy like this. Nobody wants to come to the church Sunday morning, beautiful day, singing, worshiping God, and then talking about a guy like this. It will be something different preaching about Gaius, but that's reality. If I have to move forward, if I have to organize and prepare and reaching out the community, I have to pay attention to this because it's dangerous. It creates division, confrontation within the church. Not only that, not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. It's too sad to read this, that not only is spreading malicious nonsense, he's not satisfied about that. He wants to do more. He wants to do more damage, attacking the church, attacking the leadership. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church, don't receiving, welcoming people. Do you have to open the doors and let everybody come into the church? Does it really matter? It looked different. I preached in a different church a few weeks ago, and I preached about the Good Samaritan. And the question was, so easy, who is your neighbor? So easy. That was the question. Who's your neighbor? And it was good for the congregation. Who's your neighbor? So you need to open the doors. You need to reach out. You need to go out there. You need to invite people, people that look like me, people that look different. But we have to do it. There is this geography stopping people. He don't say want to see people from different ethnicity coming to the church. Yeah. So he's not satisfied with that. So the church needs to pray about it, talk about it, and fix the problem. We have to do it. They're so easy, we ignore it. And I understand, because once that you talk with someone, once that you call out someone, it's so easy that this person can leave the church. And because this kind of person, they have their own group, their own followers, someone that is following them. Because he's spreading, he's talking with more people. He has his group. If you go and talk with these people, they're going to leave the church. And he's going to take a group. Every time there's something like this happening, history is exactly the same thing. People leaving the church, dividing the church. But we have to do something about it. It's important for us as a Christian, or we leave it like that. Or we leave it. So there is a way to do it. In a loving way, in a caring way, I have to pray about it, I have to talk about it, and I have to fix it. Otherwise, it's going to be extremely challenging. Let me say something important here. Let me go back to the first verse. I wrote to the church by a Diotrephes who loves to be first. This is important for us to understand something in Christianity. This is not about you. I think that we got it wrong. I think that we believe that Christianity is about us. It's not about you. Christianity is about God. This book is about God. He is the one that needs to be worshipped. We are coming here to glorify God, not to glorify you. We're coming here to honor God, not to honor you. Anytime that we want to be first, there is, I really appreciate what Todd said about myself. One of the most challenging things for me when I'm invited to talk about my ministry is to give statistics. It's very, very, very challenging for me. I have to do it. And I understand why. And I think that we love statistics. Yeah. I go and start talking. I've been in this ministry for 15 years. I have the opportunity to preach to thousands and thousands and thousands of workers every year. And I have seen hundreds and hundreds of workers coming to the Lord. So we are serving and reaching out. I've been in Guatemala. I've been in Mexico visiting these families. We baptize a few workers. And I can see workers preaching to other workers. And I can see that they went back to Mexico and they preached to their families and start talking and talking and talking about myself, about my ministry, so that I can impress you. And I don't like it. I have to do it. I don't like it. Because to me, it's about God. So you love to be first and taking his place. Start talking about myself and taking his place. Every time that you come into church, it's about God. Even in the midst of your problems, the challenges, the tribulations, it's about God. It's not about me, 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 me. I need, I want, I feel, I think. It's about God, God, God. Honor him, glorify him, worship him. So this is important for us, especially if we are a person like a Diotrephes, that we want to be first. Remember, and you need to understand this, it's about God. It's about only one person. And one person alone, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. So that's important for us to remember. The other thing that we need to remember is that we need to humble ourselves. This is not about to be first. We need to humble ourselves. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Philippians. It's not about you. It's about others. Don't look about your own interest. We have to humble ourselves. We want to fix this situation. Remember, God is first. Humble yourself. And number three, you have to repent. If we've been, you know what? I confess, and to be honest, I'm going to confess here before God, before you, I done it. I criticized in a one moment, at one point, a pastor's. I done it. I've been in ministry for so many years. I've been in church listening to a pastor or looking at the activities, a vision, mission, or the way they've been working, and I have said something. I confess it. I confess that. Yeah, that is wrong. So we need to repent. I remember the story, but pay attention to this. Repent. I was going in that direction. I need to stop and move into a different direction. I need to repent. I remember the story of the prodigal son. And probably you remember that. You remember the guy. So he went and wasted everything, all the money, all the blessings that he has. He went to the lowest of the lowest, to living with the pigs. But I remember it was a moment, and he said, "That's it. That's it. I can't do it anymore, this. I need to go back to my father. I need to go back home." You know, one of the reasons I'm here is exactly because that happened to me. I'm here in Canada. At one moment, I said, "That's it. That's it. I can't do it anymore." I thought about it so many times to stop, but I wasn't able. I didn't have the courage to do it. But at one moment, I said, "That's it. I need to change. I need to stop." I went back home, and I said to my family, "I'm leaving. I'm going to Canada." Very radical, but I need to stop now. Otherwise, I'm going down, under. Yeah? So I stop. But not only you need to repent. Repent is when you understand and you recognize, but you need to confess, because in the story of the prodigal son, at one moment he said, "I need to go back home." But he stand up and he went back to the home. He went and he talked with the father, and I said, "I confess. I sin against heaven and I sin against you." So it is important for us that we humble ourselves, that we repent, and that we confess that we've been, in this case, a Diotrephes person, that I'm attacking the church, that I'm criticizing the pastor, the leadership, that I'm against everything that we are doing in church, because it's dangerous and that needs to stop. Because if you have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you have to do it. You have to feel it. And not only that, I repent, I confess, and I change. I let. I'm not the same person. After 30 years, I've been changing little by little, but I have to let the Holy Spirit to work in my life and through my life. But that is important for me that we understand that. So we have to call attention to this, but you have to understand if you are in this situation, if you are kind of Diotrephes, that needs to stop now. For the sake of the church, Christianity is important, because it's not about you, it's about God. And let me finish talking about for new people, whoever is here that has been visiting the church for a few months, a few weeks, and you are exploring and listening about Christianity. Verse 11 says, "Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God." That is very important for us, especially for new people. People that has been in the church probably understand this better. But I don't want people that is visiting, new people that is here visiting the church, I don't want them to think about these problems. I don't want you to think about that church is full of problems. What you need to understand is the church is full of sinners, imperfect people like myself, because we are sinners. We are in the process. But that is something that is exactly the same in every single church. But it's important for you to imitate what is good. If you read the verses before this one, there is a guy, Gaius. I have to imitate that. It's someone that is faithful to God, faithful to the church, love God, loves the church, loves people, is welcoming. I have to pay attention. There are people here in the church that are serving God, that he's been faithful to the church, he's been faithful to God, he's always supporting, he's always giving, he's inviting people, he's welcoming everybody. That's the people that I need to be close. That's the people that I have to pay attention. That's the people that I have to look up to. And not only that guy, if you go down, there is Demetrius, verses 12. is well spoken of by everyone. Nice testimony. There is someone that is probably would be better to invite someone like that to give a nice testimony about his life. Someone that everybody look at him, it is a nice testimony, nice life. He's a real believer. He's a Christian. He's living the life. So that's what we have to imitate. Don't pay attention. If you pay attention to people like me or to the rest of the people, I'm going to fail you. I'm a failure. So we have to pay attention to these people that are serving. Imitate those ones. Go to the Bible and start reading about the Bible, the heroes of the Bible with all the mistakes and sins. But if you can see Moses, Abraham, Daniel, David, so there is a lot of things that we can learn from these people. You can read history, Christianity, and you will find people. But at the end of the day, the most important thing for you, listen to me, this is something that that I have done in my life as a Christian. I remember when I visited the church, I wasn't pretty young. I was a new believer, but I was in my late 20s, so I wasn't a kid, I wasn't a teenager. But I remember I went to the church, I visited the church, and listening to the preaching, and I remember a guy that was one of the leaders, and leading the music, teaching Sunday school, and I worked for him outside the church. He has his company, and he gave me work, so I started working with him. And I remember one day I saw him with a woman that he wasn't his wife. They were doing anything, right? So, but I have some mileage on my dashboard. So I saw him and I said, well, maybe it's a friend. But he wasn't a friend. The guy was cheating on his wife. So looking at that during the weekdays when we were working and then going Sundays to the church and looking at the guy behind the pulpit and leading music and teaching Sunday school and inviting people to the church, It was difficult for me. I was a new believer. But I learned something, and this is for you too. I fix my eyes in one person, and that's what I've been doing for all these years. I fix my eyes to the Lord, to the cross, and always looking over there. Doesn't really matter what is happening to me. Doesn't really matter what is happening within the church. Doesn't really matter who's failing or falling. I fix my eyes. The book of Hebrews said that. Fixing your eyes in one person alone. And that's the main key for me in my Christianity. Whatever is going to happen, just looking to one person. Fixing my eyes in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at the cross, looking that there is the way, there is the truth, there is the life over there. Not looking what is around me. And that was important for me. I was able to overcome that situation. So for you that are visiting the church, please just fix your eyes on Christ. He won't fail. He won't leave you. He will love you forever. He will be with you for the rest of your life. That's completely different. But for us as a church, as a body of Christ, we have to understand that there is a problem. If it is written, it's because there is a problem. And if it is written, we have to do something about it. If there is a problem in the church, don't just avoid it. I think that we need to face it for the sake of the church, especially now that we are moving in a different direction and preparing a new vision for the church. We have to do something about it. Don't be scared about that. God is going to help us to overcome that situation But remember, we fix our eyes just in one person and one person alone. I know that this one is kind of rough when I read it, when I read about this guy. It's kind of rough. It's kind of uncomfortable to talk about that type of things in the church Sunday morning where we're coming to worship. But it is there. We have to do it. We have to face it. There is a problem. There is someone that is talking. There is someone that is attacking the church. There is someone that is attacking the pastor. There is someone that is attacking the leadership team. We have to do something about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. You don't fail. You are faithful. You love us. You've been patient to us. We understand, Father, that we are imperfect people. We are sinners. But that we have the presence upon us, in us, of the Holy Spirit. You've been helping us to learn, to grow, to change, to do better. Father, in the name of the Lord, I'm praying this moment. And I'm praying, I'm asking you, God, to bless this church, to bless the vision they have, to bless, especially I'm asking you to bless the pastor and his family. And help us, God, if there is a problem, to find a solution. If there is a division, to bring people together. Because we have only one God, one Spirit, one Lord, one church. Thank you, God, for this moment. We know that you're going to help us because you've been faithful to us. And thank you for everything that you have done for us. In your name, Christ, we pray. Amen.